Good morning, everyone. Just thinking about the schedule this morning, I guess Ron, they'll be having family sharing, so we'll try to wrap it up by 10:45. See if we can do that. We'll be back. I had thrown out last Sunday and had suggested maybe there's a couple things that we want to look at. We will maybe look at that, but as I studied, things sometimes change a bit, so that's why there was no text sent out. But just to recap a little bit, I thought I would just, let's go through what we went through last Sunday. Just to recall and to remember. What was the study about? Or who was all here last Sunday? So there's enough here probably to do a little bit of a recap of what we did then. Hopefully. What was the study about?
Identity.
And just thinking about that, you know, sometimes people will take a chapter and discuss that, teach out of that. And then other times, maybe a topic. And I realize if you take a topic, there's always the danger of making Bible verses fit into that topic. So, and taking them out of context, it can be done. So if you see that happening, don't be scared of just saying that, because there was a verse last Sunday that the what it meant is true, I think, and that was, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But when I searched that up and read what it really says in the context, I was like, you know, I don't think this verse here really should be being used for this. I think that theme still runs through the Bible, but it's easy for us to take a verse out of context, I guess is what I'm saying. So we'll just keep that in mind. So what we're going to do is identity. And as I mentioned, we're going to split it up in 3 weeks. The first one we're going to do is identity. Where does it come from? That's what we did last Sunday. Today was, how does identity shape my life and the lives of those that live with me? Next Sunday, we were going to have establishing a clear identity and walking in the freedom of it. So let's just look at what do we remember about last Sunday? What was the purpose? What did I suggest that the purpose of the study was for? What were we hoping after 3 weeks that we would maybe have, or what were we hoping to gain? That's all right if nobody... Yeah. Ray.
Oh, you pointed to Job as an example, as the... and I can't... Probably it's not verbatim, but something to the effect of God pointing to us and saying, look at Ivan or... Derek or Ray or Clarence, or put your own name in there, and nothing can offend him.
Thank you. The thought I had was kind of like, and it says in the Bible, offenses will come. It's going to happen. So that's the end of my journey, and back there's my start somewhere, or here's my start. How do I get from here to there with offense coming, but not stumbling at him? And God saying, you know, have you noticed my servant Job down there? He keeps on walking. And with that, we got to have power, which is from Christ. But what are some verses, some truths that we can latch on to? So what was the suggested purpose of the study? And then can somebody just mention a definition of identity that we had last Sunday? What was one definition? Anybody think of one that was mentioned last Sunday? Just so we... think again. Just remind ourselves. Anybody? Ibra, did you have? George, back there.
I think I remember who we are, or another one was who God says we are.
Who we are. Who God says we are, I think both of those were on. Another one we looked at is who is defining our identity. There was a lot that came out of the crowd, a lot of different ideas of who's defining our identity. And I had a list of a couple. Anyone remember one? One thing that might define our identity on last week's discussion. Anybody remember? Edward, up here in the front.
I believe God was one of them mentioned.
Yes, God was one of them. Then we had different scripture references to establish our identity from God's perspective. We had a couple different verses that the audience shared here, you guys shared, and then also I had a couple on. Anybody remember any particular verse that stood out to you maybe last Sunday? One that stood out to me and I had on there was, "Therefore, if anyone is Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." That was just another one. And then we had just a brief review of fake identity and the reasons that one might use it. So then we had said that this week we were going to look at how does identity shape my life and the lives of those that live with me? I'd said come prepared with examples from scripture, from history, and from personal testimonies, and that's kind of what I had thrown out to you, which I'll leave that. So before we do that, let's just consider a couple things. My identity shapes my life and will also affect the lives of those that live with me. So how I see myself and who I am affects me, and it affects my family, it affects my children, it just affects the influence that I have on other people. So something to consider. If I see myself as someone with no value, let's say a loser, what will be the fruit? There's a couple different fruits that we could see in my life and in the lives of those that live with me. If that's my mentality, what do you expect you would see? Randy over here.
Well, they say the people become like you are, who you live with. So if you feel like you're a loser all day long, I'm guessing they eventually will feel like that too.
Thank you. Anybody else have any other thoughts? That's I think that's very true. Any other thoughts?
Well, if you truly see yourself as no value and a loser, a fruit of that would certainly be you would be unmotivated to attempt anything, really.
Discouraged, unmotivated to attempt anything. And I, like something like this, I imagine most of us could identify with something like this sometime in our life. Or maybe I'm different than others, but I don't really think so. And this is something I think most of us will also be able to identify with, is if I see myself as superior to others, how will that affect my life? What will be the fruit of it? And what will be the fruit that comes out of it in my family, in my community? What are your thoughts? Abe back there.
If you feel like, or if I feel like I'm superior, then I start making myself the point of comparison by which I measure others.
Make yourself a point of comparison to which you measure others. Very true. But somehow we always find more grace for ourselves when we judge, right? It's just Yeah. Okay, so the Mike.
You also isolate yourself because no one else is good enough to work with you or to give you an idea. So what you end up doing is being by yourself and having to do things alone.
Being by yourself, maybe a control freak. Just, yeah. And, you know, I can't, these are vast different things, but I can identify with both of them. So now we have these two to look at. If I believe that God is unable to come to my aid in delivering me from the above. Okay, now if we recognize one of these in our lives, but you know what? God's not going to be able to help us. What's that fruit going to do? Like our belief system, how we believe and how we look at things. What do you think is going to happen in our lives if we even say, okay, one of those applies to me, that's me, I recognize that, but God has no strength, no power to help me out from there. What do you think is going to happen to my life and to those that live around me? This is just more a couple of these first questions are more or less just a thought stimulation. Just there's no right or wrong answer. Do you think we'll sit there? Do you think we'll move forward if we don't believe that God's able to help us? Probably not, right? That's about as far as we'll get. But what if we believe, if I believe that God is able, what will be the fruit in my life and the lives of those that live with us? From the top two ones there. If we recognize something and we believe that God's able to help us, where do we see ourselves going? Could there be a change in the future?
I guess my thoughts to the last two points there is that at least we've seen it already is a good step
mm-hmm.
for the third line there. But yeah, we'll just stay there. But if we see it and we believe God can help us, then we can move away from that. And
then there's hope there, right? Think of Philippians, it reads 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So those were just a couple thoughts, and I had just wondered from your own journey in life, what are some lessons from the Bible that you can think of that a person's identity, how they saw themselves, who God saw them to be, how it shaped that civilization, how it affected the kingdom of God, what are some examples? Does anybody have any this morning? That we're going to just explore that individual's life or that individual, whatever happened in his life, and see what we can learn from it. Any biblical examples of that? Mike has one here.
I was thinking of King Saul. When he was called to be king, he was, you know, almost ashamed to show his face because he felt so helpless. And yet I feel he had the right perspective because God could work through him and use him. But then his attitude changed, and at the end of his life, we all know the story where he was not, he was so cocky and he could do anything because he was the king, and we know his life ended in complete ruin.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Thank you. So if we look at Saul's life, for example, like Mike mentioned that when he was out looking for his father's donkeys, I think is when it was, and he was said he's going to be king, he hid himself. Um, what's in there that we might be able to learn from? Should we go hide ourselves from civilization? That's not necessarily what he's speaking about there. Abe, do you have a thought there?
I think one of the things you see with Saul with going to hide himself, I'm not sure that's actually completely a good sign, because he was focusing on himself. And if later in his life, if you take a look again, it's once again himself that he's concerned about. Because when Samuel challenged him to what the way he was leading the people and they didn't obey God's command, he pointed to the people. And it was once again to save his own skin. A man who walks with God focuses on God. And even though circumstances might be bad, it's easier said than done, by the way. But if God is the focus, it's a totally different outcome than if we're concerned about me.
When God is our focus, it becomes a different outcome. And I think that's for Saul's life. I think when he went hiding, he's probably thinking about himself. But somehow, you know, that's his first reaction, and that's our first reaction sometimes. But in that reaction, he regrouped himself and felt the calling of God upon his life, and he stepped up to what God had called him. And that's where God poured grace into his life. Any others? Ray?
Jacob. Perhaps this is a little soft, I don't know. But just thinking of identity. When Jacob was on his way back to... he was going to meet Esau. He was very afraid. And that same night he arose and took his two wives and his two female servants and his 11 children and crossed the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." I find it interesting that this messenger refused to bless Jacob until Jacob confessed who he was.
Thank you. Yes. Came to grips with it. And Jacob is probably one of the most beautiful. It was Jacob's life that probably helped me the most in my journey with identity. And that's actually what we want to look at next week as part of it. But you know what? He said, "My name's Jacob, deceiver." You know? But in the end of the life, he's hanging on his cane in Hebrews, and he worshiped. The cane was there because the angel had touched his hip, put it out of his socket. All his failures in life were reminding him, and that's why he was hanging on the cane. But in spite of all that, he was worshiping. And that picture, it's just so beautiful, because we have our canes we have to deal with in life because of choices we've made. But that doesn't hinder us from worshiping. That's what we want to look at next Sunday. Any more on the Bible? Any examples in the Bible? We are going to probably have to move on because we'll run out of time here. I had mentioned about history. Is there anything in history that comes to your mind of somebody that you just recognize that they understood their identity or they did not, and just they either blessed the people or created chaos? Anything in history that we can learn from? Ray?
Maybe before I speak, I should just tell everyone else to get their hands up fast, because I don't like silences if there's something stewing in my head. So, I think of two men right away, men in history, who... the one didn't understand his identity, I don't think, but he thought he did. That man would be Adolf Hitler. And the other man is, I always get them mixed up, John or Charles Wesley, I'm not sure which one. But one of those men, it is said that England, he preached 40,000 sermons in England, and he had more of a positive impact on the people in England than powerful politicians. And I think that both of those men, while, you know, bringing vastly different results with their lives to the earth, or to their civilizations, are examples of what Abe was mentioning. I think with John or Charles Wesley, God was the focus, and with Adolf Hitler was the focus.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And it's just like the fruit of it, so vastly different. And, you know, God has a specific identity for each one of us, and he wants us to walk in it, and the fruit will be just as drastic difference if we get it or if we don't get it. Then I also thrown out maybe personal testimonies, but maybe we'll just leave that for right now and just go on a little bit. There was a couple different scriptures that I had wanted to look at. Just very briefly, just to think about, I guess. But personal testimonies, that is more powerful, I think, sometimes than scripture, because that is where an individual latched onto truth. And, you know, I can quote a lot of scripture, but there's some scriptures that just mean a lot more to me. Israelites at the Red Sea. How did the way they viewed the situation ahead of them affect them? They got up to the Red Sea, what they saw ahead of them, who they saw themselves to be, how did it affect them? And it affected them differently, right? What's one example? What went through their minds? Mike?
They blamed Moses for bringing them there.
Blamed Moses for bringing them there. That's one. I put down Exodus 14:10. Says, when Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone in the way we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. You know, I think I got this verse mixed up with the next one I was going to look at, but I don't think this one actually is the right one. But when they got up, they complained to Moses, right? And but then we can read in Hebrews where it says they were complaining, right? They were complaining. That we gotta, like, what are we gonna do? We're in a bad situation here. But in Hebrews it says, by faith the people crossed the Red Sea as on a dry land. But the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. Thinking back about Saul, maybe he ran and hid. But as he was hiding, he said, you know what? This is not the right thing to do. What's God want for my life? He came forward. Obviously, it looks like the Israelites crossed the Red Sea too. They were complaining and they were saying, what are we going to do? And then they crossed the Red Sea. So sometimes to just grope with something and just say, this doesn't feel right, doesn't seem right, that's not all wrong, but let's make the proper decisions after that. Israelites at Jordan. They came to the Red Sea, then also at Jordan. How did the way they viewed the situation ahead of them affect them? At Jordan, when they had traveled through the wilderness, they now came up to the Jordan. It's a big river. Water's flowing. It's high. How did that affect them? Were they like, we have faith in God, we're going to walk through? What was thoughts going through their minds? Somebody have a thought on that? Randy over here.
I don't know what thoughts are going through their mind, but I can see if it's a high river, you know, they probably didn't want to cross it. But I had to think of, the Pilgrim's Progress, you know, crossing the river. Do we put our faith in God when troubles come and let God help us? Or, you know, do we just call on God when times are tough? And sometimes we're like the Israelites, we only call on God when times are tough. Say, God, help us here. And when it goes good, we kind of, you know, let things go again.
Thank you. When we get to the Red Seas and Jordans of life, that's when we call on God. That's all too true in many of our lives. It is. The scripture verse that they, it says, and all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to one another, let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Maybe they recognize that of their own strength, who they were, they're not going to get over. You know, we can choose to go back to Egypt. But 40 years later, I'm glad Saul didn't sit hiding in the bags for 40 years, right? Israel was glad that Saul didn't hide for 40 years when he was supposed to be their king. And, you know, we can hide for 40 years too if God's mercy reaches that long. But, just to come back to the River Jordan again, it says, so when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and so as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped into the brink of the water. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks through this time of the harvest. The waters coming down from the above rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is between Zarethan. Those flowing down toward the Sea of Arabah, the salt sea, were completely cut out, and the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on the dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all Israel was passing over on dry ground till all the nations finished passing over Jordan. So now what I want us to consider is, is it just a matter of mine? If we believe, we'll have it. Is that what I'm saying here? We should have just believed and gone forward? We should just believe our identity is strong? Is that what I'm suggesting here? Let's look at one more. Israelites at Ai. What was the outcome there? They sent spies out. Oh, it's just a small city, right? We'll just send several guys out. They plan and they face defeat. So just deciding who we are is not the answer either, right? Just deciding that my identity is 9 foot tall, I'm Goliath, let's go. That's not what I want us to get from this. But who does God say we are? How does God see us? What is our purpose in life? If we can get that and walk in that will. So, I guess what I'd want to just establish in our hearts is Who are we in Christ? Who are we really in the kingdom of God? Where is our place in that? What is God's will for our life? If we get that, the kingdom will be advanced in our own lives and just in the body of Christ. Anybody have any thoughts on the discussion this morning? Abe back there.
Just a couple of quick verses that I thought about. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So if we are if we have died with Christ, our identity is in Him. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on His name. And the last one is, for both He that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren. If our identity is in Christ, He's our brother, then we can probably live with a lot more confidence, or we will live with a lot more confidence. Went to hear his brother Zach Poonen a few weeks ago, and he talked about the thing of his father, the relationship of his father, and the confidence he gained from realizing that God is his father. He's a son. That goes a long ways in having identity.
Thank you. Anyone else?
I've just been thinking about some of the first questions you had there about being, when we feel like we're a loser or when we feel superior, we're actually misrepresenting what the salvation of God is. Or I thought of that, and it affects those around us. And there's a man that felt he felt superior, and that was Nimrod. He said, "Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And it wasn't long before God had them scattered upon the whole face of the earth. And then with Moses, the scripture you said you pointed to there, in verse 13 of Exodus 14, it says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today." And when these things happen, we realize that God is the triumphant Father, and salvation is salvation. And there's just foolishness to think that we're superior, and it's foolish to think that we're a loser. So I really like that.
Thank you. Anybody, Mike over here.
Our perception of our identity doesn't really change what our identity is. Like, if, like you said, we should maybe just think we're Goliath and go ahead, but it doesn't work like that. And I thought of the verse, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." So really, I'm not very big. I can't do anything by myself, but yet with God's help, I'm Goliath, or I can conquer big things. And I think a lot of this understanding comes with maturity, and that's why we see why some people struggle, I think, more with identity, because either a lot of it comes with maturity. And what stuck out to me, I guess, in the last couple points is how the Israelites at the Red Sea went ahead when their leader stepped ahead and went ahead. The leader either was more mature, had a better connection with God, and the other people followed. And same with at the Jordan River. And all of us, I think, have some, our leaders in some way or another, whether it's our family, whether it's, you know, there's different, we all have a different scope of leadership. And I think it's up to us to be mature and to really get this in perspective ourselves so we can help the less mature that are following us.
Thank you. Yeah, if Christ is our all, that's really what we want, because if that's established in our lives, who's going to be against us? Who's going to stop us, right? And if he isn't, then we're actually working against the kingdom of God. We're creating havoc in our own lives and those around us. I think we went quite a bit over our time. Thinking for next week, a couple things was yielding to God's plan, accepting his word as our guide, recognizing the call of God on our life, and convinced by the word, we renew our covenant, desiring God's approval. Those are just a couple things that I'd like to review. So today, as we think about it, if we decide we're Goliath and we just do whatever we think, that will be confusing. It will create havoc in our own life, in the lives of those around us. And then also, if we believe we're of no value and we don't step up to what God has called us to, the same fruit will be the end. So to know Christ and to know what he has for our life is really what we want to capture, what we want to get and move forward with. I think we'll leave it at that. What else? Anybody have any more thoughts on that? Or anybody have... I know we're time to move on, but anybody have a personal testimony that they would want to share at this time? Something that they have been able to grasp to in their own life that has given them meaning and established their way? If not, we'll leave it at that. Next Sunday, we want to just look at some more promises of Christ in us, hope of glory, and just us being in Christ, like us being fully surrendered to his will, to his purpose, and just recognizing what God would want to do in our lives, and agreeing with him. I guess if we're hiding in the bags, or we don't believe, we know something in our hearts, but we don't want to believe it, we would just come out from the bags and step into the place that God has called us and walk in that. So God bless you.